Elizabeth Elliot says, if you dwell on your own feelings about things, then you're likely to have a terrible, no good, very bad day. Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, she says, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, completing today 2 weeks of talks on the book of Job, the treatise that delves most deeply in the Bible into the subject of suffering. I've called this series The Man on the Ash Heap. We've been looking at the most comprehensive book in the whole world on that deep and painful subject. I wonder how many of you have read the book. Have you really read it? In chapter 14 of the book of Job, verse 1, he says, "Man born of woman is short-lived and full of disquiet." That's a good description, isn't it? Man born of woman is short-lived and full of disquiet. I do believe that God wants us to have a quiet heart. I've written a book called Keep a Quiet Heart. But it won't be possible to keep a quiet heart without absolute, unshakable confidence in God Himself. God, whose name is love. He is love. It is His very nature to love us. And so we have to believe, we have to deliberately place our faith on His inspired and holy and eternal word. He will not allow us to suffer beyond our ability to bear. He will always make a way of escape. He does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men, the Bible says. And Job said, "Even if He kills me, yet will I trust Him." Everything in Gateway to Joy is meant to strengthen your faith, to encourage you, to point you to Jesus Christ, to lead you to the foot of the cross. You know, I'm not a theologian. The woman you're listening to is simply a woman who loves God and wants to do everything she can to help other people to love Him. It's my purpose and my hope and my prayer that these brief broadcasts will be one tiny factor in accomplishing that purpose in you who listen. I do want to thank you for listening. Man who is born a woman is short-lived and full of disquiet. That is a description of the man without God. Yesterday, I left you with a question. Will God answer Job's questions? Now we have to skip over the long speeches of the young man Elihu, whose speeches were much more reasonable, it seems to me, than those of the previous friends. But I want to look today at chapter 38, where the Lord at last says something. It's been a whole lot of talk from Job and his friends. Now, at last, the Lord speaks. He answers Job out of the storm. Let's not forget that in our storms, our tempests, our whirlwinds, places that we feel we can never get out of, God is silent. Nothing makes sense. People are driving us to distraction with their platitudes and their Pollyanna solutions. But then, at long last, in His own time and in His own way, God speaks to us. Probably He doesn't explain all the things you were hoping He would explain. He doesn't answer the sobbing questions, nor did He answer Job's. Take note of this. He answered the mystery of Job's suffering with the great, unfathomable mystery of Himself. Mystery is answered only with mystery. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:7. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. That's the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, speaking of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom hidden, and that God has destined for our glory. That ought to strengthen our faith, even when he doesn't answer our questions. There is wisdom which is destined for our glory, but it remains a mystery. And finally, in chapter 38, God doesn't explain things, but he reveals himself, reveals things which are beyond human comprehension, that rest on supernatural revelation. The Lord answered Job out of the tempest. Who is this whose ignorant words cloud my design in darkness? Brace yourself and stand up like a man. I will ask questions, and you shall answer. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me, if you know and understand. Who settled its dimensions? Surely you should know. Who stretched his measuring line over it? On what do its supporting pillars rest? Who set its cornerstone in place when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted aloud? Who watched over the birth of the sea when it burst in flood from the womb? When I wrapped it in a blanket of cloud and cradled it in fog? Before I read it any further, let's just think what we've seen in these few verses. We see the confrontation between God and man, between I and thou. Brace yourself and stand up like a man. I will ask questions and you will answer. And then God uses metaphors from architecture, dimensions, pillars, measuring lines, a cornerstone. Who set its cornerstone in place when the morning stars sang together? I wonder if we're going to hear the song of the stars. I think so. I really do think so. And then he takes this beautiful metaphor of birth, of generation. Who watched over the birth of the sea when it burst in flood from the womb? When I wrapped it in a blanket of cloud and cradled it in fog? A tender, beautiful picture of a newborn baby wrapped in a blanket and cradled. When I established its bounds, and believe me, I'm very thankful when I sit in my house which overlooks Massachusetts Bay, I'm very thankful that God has set the bounds for the sea. It doesn't reach our house, although there are times when it appears as though it might. He has established its bounds, fixing its doors and bars in place. Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here your surging waves shall halt. God is the originator and the operator of all. And he says to Job, in all your life, have you ever called up the dawn or shown the morning its place? Have you taught it to grasp the fringes of the earth and shake the dog star from its place? To bring up the horizon in relief as clay under a seal until all things stand out like the folds of a cloak? When the light of the dog star is dimmed and the stars of the navigator's line go out one by one. Terms from astronomy, the dog star, the navigator's line. And then he begins to speak of the mysteries of the sea. Have you descended to the springs of the sea or walked in the unfathomable deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you ever seen the doorkeepers of the place of darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanse of the world? Come, tell me all this if you know. Which is the way to the home of light, and where does darkness dwell? Well, obviously, I haven't got time to read all the rest of this magnificent speech in which God confronts Job with all these unanswerable questions, but I'll just give you a taste of some of my favorite bits. Have you visited the storehouse of the snow, or seen the arsenal where hail is stored? Who has cut channels for the downpour and cleared a passage for the thunderstorm? Has the rain a father? Whose womb gave birth to ice? Who was the mother of the frost from heaven? Can you command the dense clouds to cover you with their weight of water? Who is wise enough to marshal the rain clouds and empty the cisterns of heaven? Who has let the wild ass of Syria range at will? Do you attend the wild doe when she is in labor? God is telling Job that he knows all about the roots, the origins, the ancestry. He's in control. He's the legislator. He's the authority. He's wisdom. He understands the gestation of wild animals and the giving of birth. He understands the unmanageableness of the wild ox. Does it spend the night in your stall? Can you harness its strength with ropes, or will it harrow the furrows after you? Then he says, the wings of the ostrich are stunted. Her pinions and plumage are so scanty that she abandons her eggs to the ground, letting them be kept warm by the sand. She forgets that a foot may crush them, or a wild beast trample on them. She treats her chicks heartlessly. God answers, in other words, Job's mystery with the mystery of himself. And in the very end of the book, he says, Job has spoken the truth of me, as his friends have not. Job is vindicated by God, and God gives him back more than all that he has lost. Can you trust that kind of a God? He'll put you through tests, tough ones. He's asking you, will you trust me even then?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.